this interview with Willie Gallegos at his home in Mancos, Colorado. The interview is conducted on March 28, 1998. The interviewer is Jackson Lee Jr., representing the Center of Southwest Studies, Fort Lewis College, Durango, Colorado. Willie, I've talked to several people. I've talked to your grandson about interviewing you, and I'm glad to get this opportunity to be able to get a lot of information from you since you've lived in southwestern Colorado for a while. And could you tell me a little bit about where you were born and when?
Yeah, I was born in Blanco, New Mexico, down below Farmington, that country there.
Yeah.
I was born right there in 1906.
Okay.
And what do you say?
Could you tell me a little bit about when you were growing up in Blanco?
Yeah. I was just a little bit, about 14 years when I started working for people that had animals, you know, sheep, cows, and everything. And I worked for a while with that. I don't remember when I moved out of there or when I come back. For I moved from Blanco to Bayfield and stayed a while with it. From there, I come over here.
Okay. When you worked for people, did you mainly take care of livestock for them?
Yeah. Mm. Sheep and helping lambing and shearing.
What was it like taking care of livestock back then?
Well, kind of hard. It was a lot of work. A lot of work. You have to be. There was no trucks in those days or nothing. You have to drive them from Winter Range to lambing grounds and from lambing grounds up the mountain in the summer.
Oh, so did you guys, did you do that by horse?
Yeah, we had a pack of mules or burros and move our camps, you know. Until we get up there, stay overnight in places and keep it going like that. Take quite a while to go from the lambing ground up the mountains. Mm-hmm. And from Winter Range up to the lambing ground. It takes a little while to move.
Oh, and how many days do you think it really takes to go from the lambing grounds to the mountains?
Let me see. We do a lot of that. Oh, they take about 18 days, I guess, to move from lambing grounds up the mountain.
Really? That's a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And did you guys all, how many guys did you usually have?
Using about a couple of lambing with the herd and the other one moving to the camp.
Oh.
About three guys.
Three guys.
Mm-hmm.
And was there like a camp cook or anything like that?
Yeah, we cook over there and eat, and we had groceries and everything.
Did some of the women participate in doing some of this stuff?
No, never did. They never did. Now there are a lot of women enjoying on that, but then I never did see one.
Mm-hmm. Okay, could you tell me a little bit about your parents?
Yeah, I got my mother and father that we used to live over there in the, up on the deserts from Blanco, up on the mesa there. They used to homestead there in places, and they started to settle down on those places, dry lands and stuff.
A lot of Hispanic people have really homesteaded
in Blanco. Yeah, most all Hispanic people.
Yeah. And
A few white people there, very few.
How many are, do you remember some names of families that lived in Blanco?
Yeah, so, I used to know a lot of them.
Can you remember a couple of names?
Yes, the family.
Like last names, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is there like Archibald?
We used to know Hackett's people. They used to be settled down there. Well, some of the first ones they come in that country, mm-hmm. the old men, the old people. And then they grow a lot of children.
Ah. Do you remember?
Jaques and Gallegos and Luceros and, oh, I used to know, well, almost everybody there, you know. But
did the families, which, I mean, did your, do you, what was your mother and father's name?
My father's name is Antonio Gallegos, and my mother is Elvira Lucero.
Okay. Where did they come from?
Well, they come from back over in New Mexico somewhere. They come from somewhere before when they come to that country over there, yeah. Spain or somewhere. Uh-huh. They didn't come from Mexico. They come from, and they got some of those grants over there in New Mexico.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and they, but then it starts moving down to the west, and
just kind of settled.
Yeah,
in
and they settled down there and built their up farms, little houses.
Do you remember some of the things that your father taught you when you were ranching?
Yeah, they used to have a lot of. They used to have quite a lot of sheep themselves. But when I grew up like that, I said about 14 years old, they already were broke. They broke down and sell all their stock and everything.
Oh.
And start over again, yeah, a little at a time, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Did you do any other work besides ranching?
No.
No, just ranching.
Yeah.
Just ranching. Mm-hmm.
They were hardly anything, yeah. They don't build no roads, they just trail, bad roads, dirt roads. And they don't use nobody working. Well, some of them patching up the people, the farmers and everything, patching up the little roads and stuff like that.
I was talking to Rex one day, and Rex told me that you had homestead up around Mancos, around Summit Ridge.
Yeah.
At one time?
Yeah, right there with the dammies and everything.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So what did, how long
they
did you
bought that place. Uh-huh. They bought that place from another man that used to have that place there, that homestead there. Uh-huh. And my brother and my cousin bought the place together. You know, but they never did take care of it, the tax, so they lost it.
Oh, okay.
They were on the water anyway, the biggest part of it.
Uh-huh. And then from there you moved down into this area?
From there I moved over here.
Oh, okay. And how long have you lived in this area right here?
About 65, if I remember. Oh. I never did. 65 or 70 years that I homestead here and moved in here, and I've been settled down here.
Okay.
About 65 years.
65 years, okay. So what kind of ranching did you do here?
Oh, we used to plant corn, wheat, and gardens and stuff like that. And I clean up all the land here with timber.
Yeah.
I clean it up with my horses, chains, and clean it up the place.
So you use the chains and the horses together to...
Well, we had the team, the harness and everything, you know, pull those trees down.
So it's pretty
dig
hard.
Dig it out, a lot of those big ones, and clean them out. But I clean it with these.
So you did all this right in here, and how many acres is this? It's quite a bit.
I got 160 acres.
160, wow. Mm-hmm. So you got pretty much quite a bit.
Yeah.
A lot to clear.
Yeah, I got a lot of, clean. Well, we clean it out, but we never did take care of it. I started working somewhere, you know. I never did have very much time, and I come for a little while and work here and then go back and work to keep up my family going.
Yeah. Did you, what other work did you do when you started here, when you started moving, or when you lived here?
Oh, we built a bigger pond over here on the canyon, a lot of water there. Okay. We built that, and we built the fences, and things like that.
And let's see here. When you guys, when does the lambing season usually start?
Lambing?
Yeah.
In May.
In May?
Mm-hmm. Around 14th of May.
And during the lambing season, how many sheep do you usually have to have are usually lambing during that time?
Lambing?
Yeah.
Well, I work for outfit. They had it. We don't know how many they had. They had a lot of sheep. A
lot.
And I wear a ranch hand for them. Uh-huh. Ranch hand, not a herder or nothing like that. I handle a lot of stuff for them. Uh-huh. I take care of the sheep in the summer and the winter, and I take them care of the to wear mines.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I work about 9 years for them.
For who is that again?
Charlie Red.
Charlie Red, okay. Mm-hmm. And what about for yourself? How many lambs and sheep did you
have? Oh, we used to have a little bunch here.
Uh-huh.
Ours, most we had, I guess, about 100.
Oh, okay, so that's quite a bit then. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we had about 70 head of cattle, I guess, horses.
And how about cows? Did you have any cows?
Yeah, we got about 65 or 60. 70, something like that.
What kind of breeds are they?
White faces.
Oh, are they?
Range cows.
Mm-hmm. So then they can just about eat anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Don't have to really worry about taking too much care for them.
No, we good. I almost had it over there where I was working, had a place, pastures for the summer. We brought it over in the winter.
Did you ever take your livestock up to the mountains?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I used to take my cows over there, not my sheep.
Not your sheep.
Sheep we keep them all summer.
And how did you move your cows up there?
We just drive them.
Oh, you drive them? Mm-hmm. By horse and everything?
By horse, yeah.
And how long does that usually take?
Take about 2 days to drive them from here up on the winter range, on the summer range.
And where's the summer range at?
Up here on the west, north of Dolores, about 30 miles north.
Is it around Beaver Creek and all?
Yeah,
that?
Mm-hmm.
Up in there.
Right there.
Right up
in there. My cows.
Oh, okay. And you guys keep them there for the whole summer?
Yeah.
And
sometimes after that, I had a permit way down Montsoma Creek.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Cross Canyon.
Cross Canyon, yeah.
Yeah, you know
where that's at. It's right
Cross
by Hoban.
Cross Canyon. I had a permit for my cows there, and I used to take them down there in the winter, too. Because there were not much snow there here, so it took them down.
So how was the winter range down there?
Real good.
Really good.
Real good winter, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Animals, winter in good shape.
And did you know anybody down in that area?
Yeah.
Yeah. Navajos or?
Navajos. Mm. And that guy that run that trading post down there, Sherman Hatch.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, that's where my friend and. And I used to know most everybody that come with the stock. There's a lot of stock over there, a lot of sheep all over that country, Cajon Mesa.
Yeah.
And back all over that country with a lot of sheep in that those days.
Do you know Sam B. Jones or any of those people?
I used to know, let me see, I used to know a lot of Navajos. I used lots of Navajos working for me over there when I was. In the winter time, in the summer time, lambing time. Oh, I used to know those.
You know the Lansings or
Lansings, Lansings and Gielis and
Benales.
And
there's some that are called Bands. Do you know the Bands or Sleepy?
Yeah, I used to know most everybody. I kind of forgot my name. It's been quite a lot.
It's been a while.
Long while, yeah.
But how were they? Were they good workers? Or
good workers. Good worker, good sheep herder. Good, they can good. They know how to do that thing.
Take care of everything.
Yeah. They used Spanish people, some from New Mexico, Chama, and all over that country.
Uh-huh.
We used to go over there and get fuel, sheep herder. And I get it. About half and half, I guess.
Oh, okay. So you had a lot of friends down there then.
Yeah, most all of the Navajos I used to know them.
Yeah. So you got along with people then.
Yeah, I get along fine.
Oh, yeah. That's good. What?
Lee Jones, remember
yeah.
Lee Jones?
Lee Jones,
oh,
yes.
Lee Jones was my brother.
Oh,
he used to come over here a lot.
Oh, really?
Stay with me here.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I got the time to do, he come and help me.
His brother passed away not too long ago.
Yeah.
Tony Jones.
Yeah. I heard in the paper.
Yeah. And
they got a Henry Jones.
Yeah, Henry Jones.
He lived back over in Ohio, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Married a white girl.
Yeah. Let's see.
Sam Cowboy, you remember him?
Yeah, yeah.
I used to know him. Oh, I used to know everybody over there.
Yeah. So you knew quite a few people. Mm-hmm. What? How much does it cost to range your livestock on public lands like up in Dolores?
I get the range through my big bosses. Uh-huh. They let me have a range for my animals too.
Who was that?
Charlie Red.
Oh, Charlie Red. Mm-hmm. Oh, so you combined yours with Charlie Red and took them out.
They used to have 6,000 head of sheep going over that way. I take care of it.
Yeah.
And they had, I don't know how many back the other way. They got a lot of sheep.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how many they had. They had sheep all over the country. Mm. They winter sometimes, some of them, bad winter, not very much feed. They take some to Kansas.
Oh,
and winter them over there.
Really?
In those wheat fields and stuff.
How much did it usually cost to... do you really know how much it costs to put livestock on Forest Service land? Do you?
No, not on the forest, but I used to know what more or less what they cost over here on the BLM.
BLM.
Lands.
What was it? What was it in on BLM?
You don't
need to give me an exact figure. Just kind of. You know.
We used to rent some places sometimes back on the dry farms.
Uh huh.
And we paid 3 cents a head a day.
Really?
And 3 cents a day.
And when was that?
A head.
A head. Okay. Mm-hmm. And when and how far back
we used
was
that? Well, that's just a little ways to go to our winter range. But we find a place to rent, we pay that much for it.
Okay.
Private lands, you know, something.
Yeah. Did you ever have any problems with... grazing or anything like that with the BLM, or did you have a good friendship with them? Or
when they come make that law to get the used to be free range, winter range, all that kind of BLM land, they call them public domain.
Uh-huh.
Everybody, it didn't cost nothing.
Oh.
And then they come that low that they got to be paying for that land for grazing and using. And a lot of these guys, they had a lot of sheep, you know, they applied for so much land over there. And they, but I don't know, I don't remember what, I never did go too much on that.
Oh.
Pay for the ranges, you know. But again, there are sections, you know, the grazing land.
So you already could pick your section?
Yeah, they pick maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 sections over there, you know, put a bunch of sheep in there.
Uh-huh. And kind of
graze them all winter there.
Oh, okay. Do you remember there was a federal regulation called the Taylor Grazing Act?
Yeah.
You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Taylor grazing, that's what they call them, that land, the BLM land that they started getting rented for.
Uh-huh.
You know, make an application for so many years and stuff like that.
Oh.
And they call that, those ranges, those BLM land, brought to the getting for it.
Were they, why did they do the Taylor Grazing Act? Do you know why? Why did they make that law?
I don't know, they were like a public domain, you know, and then they're making this law, they have to be paid for.
Uh-huh. You think maybe that they were overgrazing some areas and stuff?
Well, they give them time, you know, when they go in there, they give them so many months to stay on that winter range, wait all winter until the spring. And they got to be out, and they got to be in the time they tell them about it, you know, December. in December, go to the winter range and use them all winter and get out of there next May. Mm.
So really it was just so that they could replenish the availability of grazing area so that the next winter they would be able to.
Yeah, they got their lands, you know, they ran it for so many years. Mm-hmm. Like if it were them, the owner's land, they paid every year. They make a regulation to get how many years they rent it, they get that land.
Okay. So I just need to check there. I don't know. I was talking to Gino one time, and I don't know, maybe it was Gino, but he said you used to work for the Forest Service?
Yeah.
Oh, you did? Mm-hmm. What'd you do for
After I quit that job over there, I go to work for the Forest Service.
What'd you do for the Forest Service?
Oh, we used to work at a lot of different kind of little jobs, you know, put up signs, clean up camping grounds, mark timber sales, and burn them up the brush and places, and do things like that, fences, planting trees, and all of that kind of stuff.
Why did they burn the brush?
They burn it because where they cut the timber, you know, there's so much trash around where they're cutting the tree, and we pile them up and burn it when the weather's good to burn.
Is it pretty hard
to
work?
To clean it out, it's pretty hard work. They wait and wait until there be snow on the ground to go burn it, so they don't take off the fire.
So it
take a lot of diesel and spray those piles of brush, you know, and burn it.
Does that help too with the ranging, do you think? Help the things?
Well, the years that come, if you clean up one of these sales ring places, clean it out the timber off of it, and then they burn it up, all of these, and the grass come a lot better over there.
Ah, okay.
Clean up the trails. A lot of things in the forest, you know, making camping grounds.
What was when you're doing ranch work, What is a day like? You know, how does a day begin and how does a day end?
Generally, I used to work for a long time, you know, regular, 8 hours a day.
Uh-huh. And what time do you usually get up in the morning?
Oh, we used to, like if I go from here, you know, I get up early enough to go, the Lord would be over there at 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And we take off from there and we come back at 5 o'clock. Back.
Yeah. And then you still had to do work here too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then if you had a chance to do something, I go to work here.
How many horses do you have?
Oh, I used to have about 9 or 10 horses. I got a lot of horses.
Do you have one that you really liked more than any of them?
Oh, yeah. I used to have a good one.
Oh, yeah.
I always have a good horse myself, you know, one man horse.
Yeah.
And I use them in good shape and shade. Shoes on.
And what kind of horse was he?
Morgan horse.
A Morgan?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So they have pretty stout horse.
Yeah, then. Stout horse.
Yeah.
Can do any kind of work on it. Mm. Drag a cow or calf or anything.
And
I roped a bear on it.
Oh, you did? Mm-hmm. Gino told me something about that one time. They roped a bear, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we lambing sheep up on plateau over here where we lambing sheep. And it was raining like this now here. Mm-hmm. And the bear come over and hit one of those little bunches we had with a little bit of lambing, just a small bunch. And that son of a gun of a bear killed, I think, 6 of them.
Really?
Killed him, yeah. And I went to look out of that little bunch of sheep in the morning. And I find where they killed this lamb. And his little trail going up the canyon. And the bear going up that little trail up the canyon. I find the tracks. And I had a good dog. I always have a dog. Mm-hmm. And I caught up with it. And the dog get after him. And I started climbing up the tree. And I got on the horse and I roped him. I roped through here.
Or
the neck.
Around the neck and the arm there.
And I turn my horse loose and I come down that little trail on down, running with it. Or I raise it up in place like that and jump. And out on the flat, there were about 6 or 7 oak trees,
mm-hmm.
big ones. Big cattle used to use them to shade down in the summer.
Yeah.
And I went through this brush, through those trees, and it choked them. You know, I pull on the saddle, I wrap it up around it, and I pull it, and then I tie them up, like tie animal.
Uh-huh.
And tie his nose here so it don't going to be
biting.
And I drag it to the cabin over there, and I tie him up with a low chain.
What'd you do with them?
We kill them.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. We keep them about 5-6 days. We feed them, you know. We give them our water and everything. They didn't try to fight.
Huh.
And somebody come over there and he says, if that were you, we get rid of that bear. Because if a game warden come over here, they might raise hell because you got some tied up. And we had a guy from Cuba, New Mexico, working there. It's kind of silly, man. And they say, why don't you let me kill him? I want to go back home and tell him that I killed a bear. I said, go ahead and kill him.
So he wanted to let everybody know back home he killed a bear, huh? But you really were the one.
You want to tell him over there that he killed a bear.
What, was there a problem with wildlife when you're ranching?
Well, sometimes the coyotes get, but we got the coyote hunters.
Mm-hmm.
Animals like that, bears and wolves and stuff, hunters, you know.
Yeah.
And we didn't get very much in trouble with it.
Oh, yeah. Did,
like that bear that night, see, they killed 4 or 5 lambs.
Yeah.
But they don't do that very often. Mm. Once in a while, we kill 1, 2.
Were there, you know, I don't know if this, around up in that area, I've heard that there's grizzly bears, but I don't know if that's really true.
They said, but we never did see one.
Oh, yeah.
We seen a lot of bear, but not those big ones.
Not the big ones, so. Huh. And did any Navajos ever talk to you about coyotes and stuff when they're ranching?
Yeah. Navajos don't want to kill coyotes.
Do you know why? Just kind of bad luck, or?
Bad luck, I guess. Yes, like we had bad things like that all over.
Yeah.
You know, somebody they don't like something, and they don't think nothing about it. That's about something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Is there anything in Hispanic culture that you guys think that's kind of related to ranching, that maybe there's some spiritual aspect? Some spiritual thing?
Well, some people do.
Some people.
The biggest part of it don't.
Oh, okay. Do you know anything?
Yeah, some old timers come with old things to say.
Uh-huh. But...
I never think nothing about that.
Do you guys have... So you never really... all your livestock you transport, you guys drove them up the mountains and to winter ranges and to summer ranges. Never did by truck then, huh?
No, we no trucks. I had a pickup.
Uh-huh.
You know, and we hold our feed for our horses, grain. And, and if I want to hold grain for a bigger herd over there, oil cake or something, some winter we give it some because there's not enough feed over there. We give them a little grain.
Mm. Okay.
Oil cake and stuff. But I generally rent a bigger truck, you know. There used to be some bigger truck holding wood, lumber, or stuff like that. And they've taken me a load of that. And I had a granary over there, when it's still grainy.
Yeah.
And I fill it up with grain.
Oh, yeah.
And we feed the sheep a little bigger.
I forgot to ask you, how many brothers and sisters do you have?
Let me see, I had sisters.
Brothers and sisters. You have any brothers?
Yeah, one brother. I had two brothers, one dead.
Oh, okay.
And the other is still alive in Oregon.
Oh, in Oregon, way up there.
And I think seven my sisters.